Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you want to say something? Hey, you want to say something really scary? We live in a world where society has poisoned the souls of men. It hovers over them like a dark cloud, and they can't do anything about it. Because this is the regular, everyday working class.
People like me,
they get down on their hands and knees, and they whisper these little lies, secrets into their ears. But I have a secret of my own. What are you gonna do when they decide it's time?
We are the ones.
When they start to walk upright.
The ones you've been told about.
And we
are walking upright.
What are you gonna do?
Well, I know what you're gonna do.
Run.
You're gonna tell them.
We're coming.
Run.
Send us someone. Just don't send anyone you want back.
With this new face of fear. And everywhere that Mary went. The lamb was sure to go. We're coming.
They are coming indeed, and with that, we are on the air on Kayfabe Corner Presents The Dark Main Event. My name is Steve Demain, and this is The Dark Main Event. We are on the air everywhere, as usual, on the vast Blog Talk Radio Network. What is going on, listeners? We are going to have a lot of fun tonight. I do want to start with a personal note, though, speaking for both myself and my usual co-host, Mr. Josh Presley. This is something that I need to get out to a lot of listeners who have been emailing me and messaging me, asking me, you know, hey, do you have any updates on what's going on with Josh? Where is he? What worried about him? I don't want to get too much into details because that's his personal business, and I didn't, you know, I'm not going to air that out on the air. But, guys, I don't know. I don't know. If I have anything, I will be sure to pass it along to you. But I've been getting bombarded with, you know, like I said, Facebook messages and emails and all this kind of other stuff, and I don't know any more than you guys do. And I understand that a lot of you were worried about him. I am too. I mean, you guys know I'm close with him, but just I promise you, as soon as I know something, whether, you know, it's when he's coming back or if he's coming back or whatever the case is, whenever he's done dealing with the personal issues that he's got going on right now, I promise you, I will get you guys an update, and you will be the first to know. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, we can move on and have the dark main event. And since Josh is not here and may not be here for a while, I am going to have at least once a week a special guest co-host. And my special guest co-host this week was voted on by you guys at both facebook.com/kayfabecorner and on SurveyMonkey. It is our resident girl meets wrestling expert, Bethany Staples. Bethany, hey, what's going on?
Hello, Steve. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. Welcome to the big role of the show where you get to be on the entire time.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I am too. And, man, we have a lot to get to, and I cannot waste any more time. So let's just get right into it. And since I started off the show with the Bray Wyatt vignette, let's just get it out of the way. Holy fucking shit. Bray Wyatt has a vignette. He's finally getting called up to the main roster. It's been forever. I marked out hard. I can't wait. I am so beyond excited.
I got super excited too. Yeah, Jeremy showed me his, you know, first little promo thing that he had done, and he was like, "You have to check this out. It's creepy as hell." And I was like, "Okay." And you know, this was forever ago. And I just remember watching it thinking, I cannot wait to see this guy. He's amazing. Like, he just creeps me out on every different level. And so, you know, of course, right after the commercial break last night, seeing him, you know, seeing that come on, Jeremy and I both, we marked out hard. We got so excited when we saw that. Couldn't hardly pay attention to anything else in Raw that happened after that. So it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great, and like you said, it's weirder for me because I remember him as Husky Harris from Nexus and, you know, the army tank with the Ferrari engine, but Bray Wyatt, I just, that character is so awesome, and I cannot wait. I went just as insane as you did last night, but Raw last night in general was just overall a really, really good show. I was quite surprised.
It was really good.
We had it was Bret Hart Appreciation Night. They were coming from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. If you guys don't know where Bret Hart's from, shame on you. Raw opens with with John Cena coming out, and he changes the ambulance match at Payback, and it's now a match we have not seen in almost 4 years, three stages of hell, and it's going to be a lumberjack match, a tables match, and then, you know, if they get to the third fall, which they will because they aren't going to do a three stages of hell match with two falls, it's going to be an ambulance match.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to be really interesting. And can I say, by the way, that it was kind of funny to watch Cena come out to booze? Like, that kind of, you know, in my opinion, that started Raw off right, to have him come out to a lot of negative fan feedback, so that was neat. I've never seen a three stages of hell match. I didn't know what it was. Immediately when they said that, I turned to Jeremy, what is that? And so he kind of explained it, and so I'm excited. I've never seen something like that before. So, and I like lumberjack matches. I think they're interesting. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it'll be cool. And, you know, I love three stages of hell matches, especially because it's so fresh. Like I said, they haven't done it in 4 years. This will be the first one that doesn't feature Triple H. I think it's a little interesting that they didn't let the feud build up more, because usually three stages of hell matches were to settle really, really, really personal feuds that Triple H was having with either Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels or Randy Orton. And to me, I mean, I love it and I'm glad they're doing it, but this feud doesn't seem justified in having a three stages of hell match now.
Right, I could see that. I could see that. It's based on such a weak premise, you know, just Ryback's hurt feelings and you ignored me and yeah, and I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the feud at all, but I think mm-hmm. that they could do a lot better with Ryback. But that's probably just because I, as a whole, am not a big Cena fan, and the less I have to see him on TV, the better. So.
Yeah, I think we all share that sentiment. But yeah, I mean, despite that, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. They sold me Payback tonight. On top of that, we know when CM Punk is coming back now. Granted, I am excited to see him wrestle Chris Jericho again because, you know, it's CM Punk and Chris Jericho and you've got Paul Heyman involved and that's all great. It's too soon. It's too soon. I don't know. What
CM Punk deserves a break. He deserves a longer break, in my opinion. But I miss him on TV.
Yeah, I do too. But, I wrote that column on kayfabecorner.com about a month ago about how Punk's rumored return was going to be earlier than expected, and I was vehemently against it, and I'm still vehemently against it. It's going to be what, he was off for one pay-per-view, and then they're bringing him back. I get it's in Chicago, and it's his hometown, and that's great. But he had a blow-up with creative, and it doesn't sound like they give a shit.
Right, yeah. I'm hoping that he had some kind of saying it. I'm kind of hoping that maybe he felt good enough to come back and, you know, maybe that was his big opening is like, well, it's in my hometown, so fuck it, I'll go. Like, that's kind of my hope, is that he was actually more into going earlier than expected, because, I mean, if they're forcing it on him, then that's bullshit.
Yeah, and I kind of have a feeling that they are, because they just have no top heels. I mean, Ryback's great, the Shield's great, but there's, you know, one main event, I can't talk, one main event top heel, and that's not enough. And CM mm-hmm. Punk gives that presence off, and everybody's going to react to him, and everybody's going to cheer him, everybody's going to boo him, and I feel like they had to rush him back out of not having anybody else.
Yeah, well, their show has definitely not been as interesting, especially since Ziggler's been out too. So they've been having some rough patches lately, so maybe they had to, you know, kind of give people something to look forward to just to keep turning on the TV every week.
Yeah, but moving on from that, man, so much to talk about. The half had a rematch with Kofi Kingston, the U.S. Championship, and then Hell No got their rematch against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, who I'm calling Double R now, for the tag team. And for that, there's an awesome segment with Daniel Bryan and Kane and Bret Hart, and that pep talk that Bret Hart gave after Kane said the same thing is just so funny. I know you got sad when Daniel Bryan was like, you're just Kane, that doesn't matter.
You're just Kane. I felt so bad for him. I liked seeing Bret Hart, you know, give his little speech, and it was so cute. You had commented, you know, well, that's exactly the face I would have if Bret Hart, you know, gave me that speech, and I agree. I thought that it was really cute. I'm excited about the angle that they're pushing, you know, as far as, like, Daniel Bryan's just becoming a punk. you know, and he's, there's obviously, there's going to be some kind of turn and there's going to be unrest between him and Kane. And so I think that's going to be exciting to watch too, because Daniel Bryan deserves to be a heel. I think he'd be really good at it again. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see that play out.
Yeah, definitely. And spoilers, I was reading the SmackDown spoilers tonight, and Kane actually cost Daniel Bryan a match after Daniel Bryan and Kane have a shoving contest in between their matches. So it does look like you're right, Beth, that they're going to turn Daniel Bryan heel, and I'm so happy. Let the man wrestle.
Awesome.
The comedy stuff has been great, but it's played out. It's time to move on.
That's awesome. Exactly. They're cute. They're the cutest little married couple ever, but they're, you know, it's just kind of, you're right, it's getting stale, and they're becoming more of a comedy match than, you know, being shown for their skills, and I don't think that that's the direction that they should continue to, you know, go with either one of them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Kane is a babyface, is fine. I like comedy babyface Kane. Everybody who's, you know, talked to me for 5 minutes knows that, but it's time to break them up. It's time to move on. It's time to get Daniel Bryan back in the world title picture. Speaking of the world title picture, boy, John Cena, Curry's actually getting a hell of a push. He's beating Triple H by Triple H not being able to continue, and then he's beating John Cena by countout.
I'm kind of surprised by that, too, the push that he's getting. And I wonder if it's going to somehow enter into the Ryback thing. You know, maybe not at the pay-per-view, but I'm kind of wondering if he's going to be, like, another contender. I don't know. Paul Heyman must give a good blowjob because he really knows how to get his guys out on top really quickly. So,
I mean, it's weird, though, because Curtis Axel isn't actually beating these guys by, you know, pinning them. And it's, you know, it's bullshit victories. Triple H can't continue. He's got a concussion. John Cena got distracted by the ambulance lights that he said Ryback would, you know, wouldn't get distracted by, or he'd never get distracted by. It's like, well, you know, whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see where this is going, you know?
I don't either. And you know, it's, unless it's just coming up to one of those things, and, you know, it's one of my pet peeves that I bitch about a lot is the way, you know, I'm wondering if they're going to do all these things, it's going to come up to this big blow up between him and John Cena, and it's going to be one big long drawn out match between Axel and Cena. And then finally, you know, after Cena gets distracted, he just, you know, finally gets up one last time and immediately gets this surge of energy, does the bullshit, you can't see me thing, or five knuckle shuffle, whatever his shit is. And then, you know, pins him. And then all of a sudden it becomes like, oh, see, you can't pin anybody. Like, I know that that's going to be something that they talk about, that they're going to harshly bring up the fact that he hasn't pinned anybody, that it's just been bullshit calls, but I don't know why, you know.
Yeah, I mean, props to them for, you know, pushing his family heritage, and he used the perfect plex last night, which I went crazy for, because that's awesome, and he should totally use that as his finisher, at least for right now. But, yeah, I don't know. I like it because it's Heyman, and Heyman can rag on, you know, my client beat John Cena and Triple H in his first two matches and, you know, whatever. And it's all the heel stuff, and that's great. But, I'm underwhelmed.
Yeah. I don't know. So far, I think that he's got a lot of promise. He looks good in the ring. So he has a lot of promise, and as long as they push him in a good direction, I don't know anything about how well he's going to do on the mic. So far, I'm not impressed with, you know, the way he talks or anything. He's not too intimidating yet, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, that's
why
they put him with Heyman, though. You know, he needs a mouthpiece.
True.
And I just got to hit on this real quick, a couple more things, and then we can move on. The Road Scholar's entrance. Please, I mean, I love that, but I'm more interested to hear what you had to say about that, because I thought that was gold.
About what? I'm sorry?
The Rhodes Scholars entrance, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, when they were shown on screen, that whole little thing right before their match. Did you see that?
You know, probably, was that before or after Wade Wyatt?
That was right after Bray Wyatt, so I guess...
Or Bray Wyatt. Wade Wyatt.
Was it right after?
I probably missed it then, because there was a moment where Jeremy and I just sat there and screamed at each other like, oh, so... I might have missed it. What did I miss? Was it good?
It was some comedy, and I'll post it up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/kayfabecorner, and everybody can check it out. It was really funny stuff, and I don't really want to talk about this, but I have to because it was the one thing I hated on the show. Why was Great Khali singing again?
Oh God, I don't know. So our ear holes got assaulted by Khali, and then later in the night by the Bella Twins, who sing like equally as bad. And it was just like, can everybody just not sing? Can you just do what you do best and just stay silent? That'd be great. Thanks. It was terrible.
Yeah, this is not American Idol. The other thing I wanted to rant about, and this is the overall thing that I hated about the show, not because it was any of the performers' fault. If you played the WWE drinking game last night, you went to the hospital with alcohol poisoning because they would not fucking stop. The cut-ins and the matches that didn't even relate to the matches and everything's on the app. And watch the app during the commercials and the app. I want to show Michael Cole more than I did when he was the annoying heel, and that was bad because that was terrible. This needs to stop. It needs to stop. I don't give a fuck about the stupid app. Let me watch the matches.
I agree. In fact, you and I messaged about it. That really pissed me off, too. It was super distracting. I think that it might be okay occasionally. And, you know, Jeremy brought up a good point when I bitched about it last night. He said, well, you know, it can be good for foreshadowing. And I agree. If they're going to keep it to where it's relevant to what's happening in the ring or, you know, what may happen in the future, then cool. You know, I may be able to get used to it or at least ignore it. But, I mean, if this is just a shameless push toward the app and they're going to show random crap that has nothing to do, like they did a couple times last night, that's going to get on my nerves really quick. And I downloaded the app. You know, I don't like the fact that that was the only way that you could see, which is funny because I never watched it last night, but that was the only way that you could see the Bret Hart Appreciation Night, you know, if you were outside of Canada. So
yeah,
I did, you know, I downloaded it and then ironically never watched it, but I did download the app, but it's not going to make me go to it anymore, you know, like any more often than I would before. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, yeah, foreshadowing, that's great and everything, whatever. But isn't that what promos are for? And isn't that, you know, what insets are for and, you know, video packages are for and all this other shit? And why do we need to have app cut-ins with, you know, hey, on the WWE app, which is an exclusive app that you can't see anywhere else, we're going to show you what you just missed on the app because you didn't download it. Like, it makes no sense to me. It's a waste of time. It seems like a shameless plug to me. I don't want the damn thing. Let me watch Raw.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, if it's going to save some time, although I don't know how much time they need to save when they've already extended it to 3 hours. I mean, cut out some of the bullshit that, like, they can cut out the Divas altogether for, you know, all I care, and use that time for more stuff that they are putting on the exclusive app. But, yeah, no, all in all, I'm not a fan of it at all.
Yeah, me either. Anyways, I don't have anything else to discuss with Raw. I overall loved it. I think it's the best Raw since the one I was at, which was the night after Mania. Anything else you wanted to hit on?
Let me just think. Oh, I did kind of like the asshole thing that The Miz did, where he, you know, kind of got one out on Wade Barrett and then made Summer Rae pin Fandango. You know, it wasn't anything like super awesome, but I got a little chuckle out of it. I thought it was funny. That was all I wanted to say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll talk about Miz a bit later on in the show, but, yeah, you know, I thought that was funny. I like Miz. You know, I was cool and all, and it's good that Sin Cara is not in the title picture and Miz is back in, but, you know,
yeah,
that was okay, whatever. All right. That was Raw from last night, and boy, you know, we should probably bring on Bethany for Girl Meets Wrestling. Let me get her intro music queued up real quick here. Oh, you're already here. I forgot. My bad. Hey, so it is Girl Meets Wrestling, the complete edition, because, you know, Bethany's on the entire show. But we're going to do the actual Girl Meets Wrestling segment now because we have to still have it. It's the dark main event. It's just what we do. And, boy, the match we did this week was actually suggested by the better half of you. Jeremy wanted to do Benoit versus Jericho from Royal Rumble 2001. And to me, before we get into this, I was telling Bethany before the show that I have not watched a lot of Chris Benoit matches since he died, just because it was, you know, weird and how everything came on. And this match just, it hit me in a lot of ways that we'll get into in a minute. I want to let Bethany give her a review first. So go ahead, Bethany.
So, and I agree with you. I loved the match. I was completely entertained throughout the entire thing. This was, you know, my very first ever, this was the first time I ever saw a Benoit match. You know, Jeremy had never shown me any, and my son started watching wrestling after everything happened. So I always, my first thought that I did, my first thought that I had during this match was that I always feel like someone saying a bad word or something taboo whenever Benoit is mentioned. Like, it just feels like one of those, like, dirty, like, ooh, and you have to kind of watch what you say or how you phrase it and everything, and there's just a stigma to it, and it makes me feel bad because, oh, my God, he was an amazing wrestler. Like, he took some hits, though, you know. That was the part that got me. I was watching. They got really rough with each other. I liked the way those two wrestled together. They had this intensity that they were matching each other's intensity, which, you know, sometimes see only one person with it and the other person is just kind of going along with it. But this one, they were matching each other's intensity and it just kept going up and up and up and peak. And it was, they were just really rough with each other. Jericho flying into the ladder and then out of the ring looked totally painful. But then Benoit's chair to the face jumping out of the ring was even worse. And then he landed on the chair. And, like, I'll bring up a drinking game again. You know, if you ever invented a drinking game where any time Benoit got hit in the face with a ladder, you would have to take a drink. And, again, you wouldn't remember anything. You'd be blitzed because he took so many hits to the head. It was crazy. Side note, Jeremy did tell me during the match that I guess Benoit's autopsy revealed that he had the brain of an 84-year-old man with Alzheimer's. So.
Yeah. That's where they found out when they did the scans after that with the CTE and everything. And,
Yeah, that's just insane. Like, and if every match was like the one that this one was, I can totally see why. It was intense, like the entire thing. My favorite move, and I guess it's Jeremy's too, but my favorite move was the octopus on the ladder. That was so cool looking.
It really was.
It was really neat. But, yeah, I had so many oh shit moments during the entire match. It was so cool. I kind of wish at this point, you know, nowadays that we could see matches that were this ballsy. But, you know, then again, Benoit maybe argues the point in why it shouldn't be so brutal anymore. So It was kind of, you know, it was kind of bittersweet for me because I was like, this was so awesome to see. But then you can see in the match all the reasons why it shouldn't be done like that.
Yeah, and, you know, since we're talking about that, some of the things that I noticed, because I hadn't seen this match in years, it's been so long, Chris Benoit shaking his head just a ton. And, I mean, if you go back and watch that match, you will see within the first 5 minutes Benoit just shaking his head and shaking his head and shaking his head, and you can't help but think, like, you know, that's what ended up making him do what he did, was all those chair shots to the head, and it's just this weird, eerie feeling that, I mean, the match is great, and Benoit was and always will be a fantastic wrestler, and I will stand by that, you know, forever. But
absolutely.
You know, it was very, very kind of this middle ground for me as someone who grew up liking Chris Benoit. You know, I enjoyed his matches. I was a fan of his, and it was very awkward and weird, and I don't even know if awkward is the right word, but I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's a fantastic match, but, yeah.
I kind of had a weird feeling, too, watching it, though, because it was just, you know, it's in the back of your mind the whole time, you know, that you're watching it, and so maybe it does get in the way a little bit of trying to enjoy it. But, I mean, that being said, it was an amazing match. I loved the way they worked with each other, and, you know, and I just loved the risks that they took. even though they're terrifying to see, you know, because, I mean, anything can go wrong at any time. But it was, I kind of, I don't want to give this one hair flips this week because, you know, kind of head shaking. I don't like, it just sounds like it's not right. But I do give them 5 out of 5 shiny boots. So how about that?
That works. No comments about Chris Jericho's long hair?
Yeah, he had a beautiful head of hair. Well, he still does. Well, he's balding a little bit now, poor guy. But he did have a beautiful head of hair. It was very pretty. And, you know, neither one of them wore nice boots, but I did dig the shit out of Benoit's leggings. I liked the colors, the blue and the black like that. Those are neat.
Yeah, he, kind of his thing, ever since he debuted, he always had the Rabid Wolverine tights, and they were always the Wolverine stripes, and he had red and black ones that were really cool, and he had yellow and black ones, and all that kind of stuff. So you probably would have liked his attire for most of his matches. But, yeah, 5 out of 5 shiny boots, that works. And like I said, amazing match. One of the best non-Royal Rumble matches in Royal Rumble history, for sure, without question. But just very, very weird to watch back now.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you for, you know, for allowing me to watch it, because it totally gives me a different perspective on wrestling. And, you know, I'm learning stuff every day.
Yep, and I've made this promise to you personally, but I'll put it out there. We are going to give Bethany a 3 Stages of Hell match for Girl Meets Wrestling before Payback, so she can get an idea of what seeing the same 2 guys wrestle 3 matches in a row looks like for almost an hour, and it doesn't look bad. Spoiler, it'll have Triple H in it, because he's been in the only 3 in WWE history, but we'll give you a good one, don't worry.
Awesome. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Moving on, that was Girl Meets Wrestling. Josh and I did do an exclusive interview, almost a couple weeks ago now, with YouTube sensation and former IWA Mid-South superstar Mike Levy. And not, you know, you guys might not know who Mike Levy is, Bethany. I'm sure you have no idea who this guy is.
I've seen his name just through you guys, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. So if you guys don't know who Mike Levy is, Mike Levy got famous off of one incident. It was a Fans Bring the Weapons match a few years ago in an IWA Mid-South show against Mickey Knuckles in the Queen of the Deathmatch tournament. And there's a whole big backstory to it, and I don't want to spoil too much of the interview, but Mike takes one of the worst non-kayfabe and non-worked curb stomps I've ever seen in my entire life. It's completely brutal. It's a barbed wire ladder. It's nasty. And I'm going to give you a heads up. This interview is not very long. It's only about 15 minutes. Mike was very short and to the point, but some of the things he says are just so off-the-wall entertaining and hilarious. You guys are going to really enjoy it. So without any further ado, let's throw it to myself and my usual co-host, Mr. Josh Presley, with Mike Levy. Okay, this is the Dark Main Event. This is Steve DeMaine. As always, is with me is Josh Presley. Josh, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? And our special guest this evening is YouTube sensation Mr. Mike Levy. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Great, great. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. Let's get right into this. First question we want to ask you is, give us a personal view of who is Mike Levy.
Oh, okay. That's a... I don't know. It's kind of hard, isn't it? I was trying to think of that one. The wrestler? I don't know. I guess just playing the wrestlers is just... I don't know. I was a big ECW fan, just wanted to get into wrestling because of basically ECW is my main real draw. Then, other than that, I'm just, I guess, just a southern boy. I guess I'm a conservative and a dickhead. I guess that would be a consideration of who I am.
Fair enough. We can respect that.
So, apparently, I'm really judgmental. And, all right. Kind of hard, still hard to get along with. Like, either people either really like me or they really hate me. It's one of the two. I don't really have people who are just okay with me.
Okay.
That's all opinionated.
Kind of like how we are, too. People mostly hate us, but, you know. But
yeah, more people hate me than like me, but it's... But the people who like me seem to really like me. There just ain't many.
We'll take that for what it's worth.
Indeed we will. Mike, why did you want to become a pro wrestler?
Made me want to become a pro wrestler? I was basically, it's like, always wanted, like, since I was six, I started watching NWA when it was like, I guess it was, at that time, was Flair and Steamboat and Terry Funk, Muda and Sting. So I got into it then. Then when ECW came, that was really pretty much the big one. My old dream was to be in ECW, but ECW died, so my dream died with it. But I still got in wrestling anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. I was a big ECW fan growing up too, and I don't know what appealed to me about it. It was just kind of like it was different. It wasn't the classic wrestling that everyone had known, but it was still cool at the same time.
Yeah, I would say like the hardest death I've ever had to deal with in my life was the death of ECW.
I
think the same could be said for a lot of people. A lot of people were really devastated by that.
Yeah.
Mike, can you give us a little bit of background about your training?
Training? I basically went to a local Fed. It was like in Lincoln, NWF. I trained there for a little bit, and they put me in. They probably put me in before they should have, but they were just short guys, I guess. Then I went. I also trained this guy named Mass Assassin or whatever, or something like that. It was Team Money up for Empire. Basically just local feds and local people, basically. No big name or nothing.
All right.
How'd you end up in IWA Mid-South?
How I ended up there is my friend was a big, I guess, mark for the promotion. And was like, hey, Levy, you want to go to Indiana and watch IWA Deathmatch Tournament? I went, sure, why not? That's pretty much how I ended up there. Because we went to a few shows before that show. We went to, I think, Double Death or something like that. Then we went to another one. I mean, you can see, if you saw the DVDs, you can see me in the crowd on, like, one or two shows before that. Then, then basically, I went there, and they pretty much, they just knew me from, I guess, the internet or something. And they pretty much, I guess, just went, hey, yo, Ligermo, can I cuss? Everybody's like, we're going to fuck this guy right here. That's pretty much what happened.
Hey, whatever works, right?
So they basically, they asked me if I wanted to wrestle, and I was like, since they were kind of a big promotion, I said no, but I felt like something was up, and it was. And they were all real nice to me and stuff, and then when they got out there, she just stiffed the shit out of me, then I guess I stiffed her back, and all hell broke loose, and they sent people after to attack me after the match. So they shot on me. A lot of people asked, did you let them do this? Said, nobody's really going to let a 400-pound guy jump on the head, you know?
Yeah,
you know.
We will definitely get to that match in a little bit, but we know you have a relationship with Ian Rotten. What are your thoughts about him?
Really, that's the only time I really talked to him, ever.
Oh, really?
That one day. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I'm like, that was it. I mean, like, yeah, like,
good
I don't
going.
Know what to meet. Yeah, mine was that one day. Yeah, I never really thought of him.
You're famous for the match you just talked a little bit about, the Fans Bring the Weapons match against Mickey Knuckles. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Basically, it was they kept changing the match. They kept changing the match. The first one was supposed to be like a barbed wire board match. Then they changed it, being like me and Mickey talked over the match, like the way it was supposed to be. Like we were supposed to basically do like a little bit of, you know, just basic chain wrestling, like elementary chain wrestling, you know, then lead into the weapons, like, you know, like basically, you know, really try should do like hardcore match. First thing she said, and she stiffed me, and it just became an ugly match. Then after that, then the Devmore Tank ran in and did the curb stomp. And that's the first curb stomp I was knocked out, pretty much. I guess I was still moving, like concussed. But that's basically. But then I had to watch videos to see what happened with all the cussing me and all that stuff, because I don't even remember that when it happened. Then after the match, I think I left and took a shower, went back in the locker room and started talking to people. And everybody was like, oh my God, you're still alive. And I didn't really even know what it was.
Yeah.
until afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people who reacted to that thought that the entire thing was a work and the ladder stomp was planned and you were marking out backstage supposedly. Can you confirm or deny that any of that is true?
I know a lot of people have asked me if it was a work, but it wasn't. Like, the match itself was kind of, but the thing that happened after the match was like, this is why a lot of people, one of them, they'll say, oh, man, she just beat your ass. Which, I mean, she stiffed the shit out of me, but I mean, I stiffed her a few times, too. She didn't want to go with nothing. The finish was like it was supposed to be with the belly off top on the ladder. That was right.
Mm-hmm.
After that, everything went to shit. So, like, but the deal with the match, I mean, she wasn't going with anything. You know, what I was like, because I was supposed to get, like, a backdrop driver on her or something. And every time I try to go for it, she'd hit me something. Like, so she wasn't going with any of the spots planned, but it was kind of controlled, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Afterwards, when it was shit.
Incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah, that, if you guys haven't seen that curb stomp that Mike took, it is pretty brutal. I wouldn't recommend looking it up if you're squeamish because Mike, I felt your pain watching that video. That shit looked like it hurt.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I wish I could erase the whole thing, honestly, because I think he just gave me a bad name. So now anytime anyone wants to say anything about me, they just bring that up, like, to put me down all the time. They're like, oh, never. Like,
what would you,
basically, because they're shit-talking with you. Blackyard can't fucking wrestle shit has just, like, everyone just assumes it to be reality. So, like, guess what? I could go out there and I could have the, like, best wrestling match on the show and it's going to be, you're a fucking douchebag, IWA, motherfucker, blah, 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 no matter what I do.
Really?
So, and that way, so it really affects me in a bad way.
Wow. Is there anything that you'd want people to know about you that isn't about the Mickey Knuckles match that maybe would give you a better name?
I mean, wrestling-wise, I can actually wrestle. I'm not just a deathmatch guy, which, I mean, a lot of people think that's all I can do, and it's really not the truth. But I'm sort of, I guess I sort of get myself in that a little bit, though, because, like, I'll straight do, like, a bunch of normal matches. Then they tell me, like, you know, that shit's crap. Then I always do something stupid, some fucking lightsy match, and piss it away. I don't know. I guess just that punk rock type of deal I have. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really nothing. I mean, people are going to think what they want to think, I guess. But,
okay.
I don't know. At this point, like, I ain't even wrestling right now. Like, I'm taking a break because it's just, I guess I'm just tired of all the shit. All of the stuff you have to hear from people. And, like, well, I was a booker for about 5 years. My buddy ran a promotion in Hickory and Milestone, and I was the head booker for 5 years. So I had to deal with all the rest all the time. So my head's about exploded now. So I'm probably going to take, like, a few months off, and I'll figure out what I'm going to do and probably get back in it. But right now I'm just kind of, like, chilling a little bit.
Fair enough.
Anything that you'd like to plug for our listeners to get in touch with you on social media or anything like that?
Oh, well, the guy who got me on the show was Firebird or Opal Adam Cole, whatever he's called. Not that Adam Cole, but another Adam.
The Irish Warrior. Yeah, we had him on. We had him on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I told him, I promised him I would try to. He's trying to fundraise for a movie, The Adventures of Beer Man. It's a Kickstarter and Indigo, I think. So, like, if anybody, you know, has money laying around and wants to get him to do a movie, it'll probably be cool. Just go ahead. But that's about it. But, like, I don't even know what it's funny about the movie because I guess he's planned this movie for years. I heard something about it, but apparently, like, I'm in it or going to be in it, and I didn't even know until, like, he posted up the video, and I thought, hey, Jeremy, I think I agreed to it, like, 2 years ago, forgot about it, and then I'm like, cool, I might get to be in a little movie or something. I think my buddy is trying to do another thing. One of my buddies is, like, Jason Bettina, the one that used to run the wrestling around in Hickory. He's talked about doing something like that, too. like a little movie type of deal. So I don't know, I might be doing stuff like that.
Look out for Mike Levy on the big screen, everybody.
That's right.
So besides acting, where do you see yourself going from here? Do you see yourself getting back into booking? Do you see yourself trying to get back into the ring? What's next for you?
I'm kind of, I really don't know, honestly. Like, I'm thinking, like, I may just kind of, like, try to run my own show. And I've also did this a few times, do, like, commentary on stuff. I really enjoy doing that. So I may do more, like, commentary type of stuff in wrestling, because that's really fun. Then, I mean, my dad, I've just picked up, like, well, I got, like, I kind of just grew up, you know. I got a girlfriend. I live with her. She has a kid. So, therefore, my responsibilities are kind of different than they used to be. So, that's kind of a lot of my life is, like, probably going to buy a house and all that stuff. So, it's hard to say what's all going to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Mike, thanks very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it, and we hope you'll check back in with us soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was our exclusive with YouTube sensation and IWA Mid-South wrestler, Mr. Mike Levy. And, Mike, if you're out there listening, thanks again for coming on and for being so blunt and honest. And I know Josh had a great time talking. You had a great time talking. You feel free to call in anytime. We'd love to have you.
Call in.
Like, move on. Yeah, I think Bethany's still here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You are? Okay, cool. Okay, we are going to move on, and we are going to bring back a segment that I didn't have time to do last week because I was by myself. And, so we are going to bring back Does He Suck? So, Mr. Josh Presley, please get us going.
It's time for Does He Suck with Josh and Steve. And now, here they are, us.
Thank you, Mr. Josh Presley, and since I do have a special guest host this week, I let my special guest pick the subject for this week, Does He Suck? So, Bethany, who are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about The Miz.
Someone near and dear to my heart. Anybody who knows me knows that The Miz is one of my favorite wrestlers currently. I love the guy. But it's not for me to talk right now. Bethany, what do you think about Miz?
What do I think about The Miz? Well, I love The Miz, too. He was the person that I really, like, started looking at when I first started watching wrestling with my son. He was a John Cena fan, and John Cena and The Miz were feuding. And so just to kind of pick on my son, I was like, well, I'm going to vote for the Miz to win, just to piss him off. But he started really, like, just, I don't know, endearing to me. He came from, like, I love his backstory. He came from reality TV. He therefore got a lot of shit backstage about not being legit. He was banned from being able to change in the locker rooms for 6 months because he ate chicken over someone's back. He was banned by JBL and Benoit. And yet he still endured. Like, most people would have just called it quits after that for being so universally disliked. They would have just thrown in the towel and just said, never mind. But he didn't. And he, in my opinion, shows his best side as a tweener. You know, he's just, when he's just in it for himself, he's cocky. And while some of his moves aren't super memorable, he can sometimes be really good at selling a match, and I love that. So his, you know, biggest fave before coming into the WWE was The Rock. And lately he's been off filming movies and remaining noticeably absent from storylines in Raw, so he's emulating his idol pretty well. So in my opinion, does he suck? Well, he's starting to. You know, when your merch is better than you are, then yes.
Yeah, his t-shirts are pretty awesome. And, you know, like I said, I'm a huge Miz fan. I loved him on the dirt sheet when he was with Morrison doing all, you know, the Elijah Burke singing and all that. That was all great. I think his babyface character is fucking terrible. It's so bad, and it's not getting over. And they tried to pair him with Flair, and that's not working. They gave him the figure four, and that's not working. Miz needs to just be a heel. He's more entertaining as a heel. His matches are better as a heel. His character is way better as a heel. This version of him is crap, and they need to stop it like yesterday.
So I like his babyface character. But that's probably because I think he's adorbs. I don't know. I like seeing that nicer side of him. But, you know, that is definitely not the popular opinion. So, he is great as a heel, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, his babyface character, I tried to get behind it, and I had an open mind. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe it'll work, and it'll, you know, he'll still be cool, and he'll still do all the awesome stuff, and no. It's just, so bad, and it's forced, and you can kind of tell, like, he's not comfortable in it, because he's been a heel for so long. It's just, I don't know. I still like Miz. I still think he's cool. I'm glad he's getting, you know, an Intercontinental title feud with Wade Barrett. I was really happy when he won at Mania. I went apeshit for him when he won the Intercontinental title, but this character is so bad. It's so bad. I hate it so much.
So, yeah, that all being said, I so am getting his new shirt.
Yeah, I love it. What does the back of it say? Haters wanted
it. I never get a chance.
On the front.
I don't know. I never get a chance to read it, but I'm going to go to WWE shop when we get off here and take a look.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to, too. I know the just all his t-shirts have been awesome. The name tag t-shirt was awesome. The, you know, caution, you know, danger, you know, you may be impaired by my awesomeness, and it listed all the reasons on the back why his awesomeness would, you know, make you, you know, pass out and do all this other shit. His shirts are awesome.
Yeah.
This, I don't know. Personally, if it was up to me for this week, I would be giving Miz a currently, does he suck? Yes. Overall, if they changed him back to a heel, does he suck? No. But like I said, not my choice this week. Your call. Does Miz suck? Yes or no?
I have to go with the same answer as you. Currently, yes. I think that, you know, heel or face, he just needs to be on TV a lot more and not just as a guest ref. Like, he needs to... I think that, and I'm excited he's, you know, starting a feud, but it's been so long. He needs to be on the mic again, and he needs to start talking shit about people. Overall, Miz does not suck, but lately, yes.
All right. Well, when someone is deemed to suck on the show, you know what we have to do. Miz, why did you make me play that? I didn't want
Miz.
To play You Suck. Ugh, damn it, Miz.
Damn it, Miz.
Damn it, Miz. Get better. Go back to being a heel and start being awesome again.
Please be awesome.
I know. We miss the awesome Miz. Me and Bethany both. Be better.
R.I.P. Awesome Miz.
My God, why? Now that we've disappointed ourselves, we are going to open up the phone lines. If any of you guys want to talk to Bethany, because nobody wants to talk to me, give us a call, 347-838-9944. Again, that is 347-838-9944. Say hi to Bethany. Get her opinion on, you know, pretty boots or hair or Bray Wyatt's beard or anything you like. Or, you know, you can ask me something. I like being asked questions and talk to you about stuff. I get lonely.
Hey, Steve, I have a question for you.
Ooh, okay.
Where can they find a place to get your phone number, the phone number for the show?
Where can they find it? Well,
yeah, where can they find the phone
number? That's a great question. They can find that at one place that I know of. It's called kayfabecorner.com. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's this cool little website. I write for it. I think you write for it, actually. How do you not know about this?
Well, I only check out, you know, a couple segments on there. I do... you know, tend to just stick really close to Casual Corner. That's a good column there.
I see. So you don't read Domain Event. I gotcha. Whatever. Yeah, go check out kayfabecorner.com. All our past shows are up. We're going to get this one up there, too. I write for the site. Bethany writes for the site. We just got the Irish Warrior. Adam Cole has a brand new column on there, Wrestling 101. He gives a lot of great insider viewpoints. We have a special BTK up for our buddy Josh. We're poking some fun at him since he's not around. We did a special for him that we are going to finish soon, Jeremy and I. are co-authoring that. You guys can go check that out. I guess since we're doing plugs, go check us out on Facebook as well, facebook.com/kayfabecorner, facebook.com/thedarkmainevent. You can also find us on Twitter at @thedarkmainevent. If you want to tweet me personally for whatever awkward reason, you know, because you just want to talk to me, not that anyone does, I have recently changed my Twitter handle. You can now find me at SteveD on DME. So it is SteveD, like my last name, the word on, DME, like Dark Main Event. Bethany, what's your Twitter? You have Twitter, right?
I do not have Twitter, no.
What's wrong with you?
I'll have to rectify that. I do not have Twitter.
Yeah. Get on Twitter at Staples Mania or something really awesome like that.
I should do Staples Mania. That's my favorite. I like
you
that
should.
At Staples Mania. That's a good idea. And then keep your eyes open for a new segment that's going to also be, or I mean a new column that is going to be added onto the website very soon.
Yes.
It'll quite possibly be our youngest author. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Definitely. It's going to be really fun, and I'm not going to spoil anything. I do know what it is. It's going to be great. It's going to be a very interesting view, I'll tell you that much.
I know, it's going to be exciting.
The show is also on iTunes. Go please subscribe, download. Episodes will automatically be downloaded for you. So if for some reason you're not listening right now, it's okay. Catch up there. Leave us a review. Tell me how awesome I am and how great a job Bethany did filling in for Josh this week. Right?
Absolutely.
You're supposed to back me up on this. What?
Josh, I hope I'm doing a good job, but
awkward.
I know that. Oh, we had our awkward moment. It reminds me of episode 3.
Thanks, Stone Cold. A couple of news and notes here while we're leaving the phone lines open for another couple minutes. Again, 347-838-9944. Talk to Bethany. What's wrong with you people? She wants people to talk to besides me. One thing I wanted to bring up that was a piece of news that just broke earlier today. I don't know if you saw during the main event last night of John Cena versus Curtis Axel, but the crowd was really distracted. Did you notice that? Like they were all looking at something?
Somewhat, I did notice that. Yeah, I don't know what happened, though.
Okay. Reports have actually broken today that it was a huge fight in the crowd during that match. And I'm going to read something that someone sent in to one of the other websites out there. I was at the Raw show last night on the edge of the upper bowl directly over the top of the incident during the Cena-Curtis Axel match. It pretty much came out of nowhere in the back of the floor-level seating when a fan, not sure if he was drunk, but he appeared so afterwards, threw a punch, and very quickly a larger tussle broke out that appeared to be quite violent. The entire crowd's attention turned to it, and people started a fight, fight, fight chant, which I didn't hear when I was watching the show. Security rushed over quickly, and one of the event staff actually knocked down one of the guys throwing punches pretty hard. A couple of the guys and the girl involved were so worked up and crazy that it took 4-plus men to hold them back, and even then they could barely do so. So apparently there was a huge fight. In the crowd last night at Raw, Canada, of course, go figure, but wow. I think that's
crazy.
Kind of,
well, I guess we should be happy that because it was in Canada, no guns were broken out. You know, their gun violence is lower than ours.
America.
America.
Team America.
No, that is crazy. I wonder if there's anything on YouTube.
I'm sure if you go look it up, you can probably find some footage of it.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so fight in the crowd at Raw last night, if you guys were wondering what the fuck everyone was looking at, that's what it was. People were getting it on, and yeah, go figure. The other thing, I guess, that's kind of a big deal, did you see the photo of Hulk Hogan's hand when he went to the hospital?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I didn't mean to laugh so hard at that. That made me sound like a bitch. But yes, I saw it.
He actually apologized for tweeting those photos. He issued an apology, I believe, on Twitter today, saying that he shouldn't have done it, and he apologizes to anyone who was, you know, sickened or offended by it. And I'm sitting there going, what? Like, really? Who cares?
That's. I wonder if PR put him up to that. Because I'll tell you what, I see stuff that's way worse than that on my Facebook feed daily, you know, by just regular people. I don't think it I mean, they were disgusting, the pictures. I saw, because Jeremy posted a picture in the group, but I actually saw a different post where there were three different pictures, and one of them in particular was especially bad. His hand looked like a waffle, basically. So, but I don't know. I don't think that he should have he should have to apologize for that at all.
Yeah, he did. Let me read you his tweet. This is at Hulk Hogan. I apologize for posting my burnt hand photos with all the feedback. I now realize I really should take a moment before I make a decision. Yeah. I'm here. Beth?
Steve?
We lost Beth. Yes? I'm here. Okay, clearly Bethany and I are having some connection issues right now. I don't know if it's on her end or on my end. We are going to try and work this out real quick. But yeah, Hulk Hogan in the meantime has issued a public apology on Twitter. And like Bethany was saying, I don't know what's up with that. He really shouldn't have to. It's not that big a deal. I mean, the hand was disgusting, but yeah, you know, whatever. The phone lines are still open for another minute. One other thing I wanted to point out was that, and I know nobody cares, but boy, did Fast 6 do really good at the box office. And The Rock has had now three movies this year that have opened number one at the box office. And that's great for him, and this is why he should stick to acting. And he should not be coming back doing WWE like he's not going to do movies. He's being very successful at doing films. And, you know, if he's going to make millions of dollars doing it, why not? Let the man do it. We have lost Bethany. Not quite sure what happened. Hopefully we can get her back before the end of the show. If you guys do want to call in, again, I'll leave the phone lines open for another minute here. 347-838-9944. We have talked about a lot. One thing I didn't hit on from Raw was... Curtis Axel and Bret Hart had a segment on that show, and I forgot to talk about this earlier. And, boy, was that an interesting dynamic. You had Axel being like, well, just because you knew my dad doesn't mean you know me. And we do have Bethany back. I'm going to bring her on here.
Hello.
Hey, what happened?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, and now I can.
Good. I totally lost. I couldn't hear you at all. And Jeremy's listening on his laptop out in the living room, so I could hear you talking. There's a, you know, about a 10-second delay, but I could hear you talking after I got done and didn't realize that there was a disconnect on both ends, so I apologize for that.
It's all right. We've had some technical difficulties before. No big deal. I was just talking about the Curtis Axel Bret Hart segment from last night that we forgot to talk about. I loved that. I thought that was awesome that they're really acknowledging his family history, and they're just really playing it up that he is a Hennig and he has all this talent.
Yes. Yeah, I obviously, you know, I'm not too familiar with their family history or anything. I will rectify that. But I did like the whole, you know, just the remarks that he gave Bret Hart afterwards, where he was like, look, he was the only one that was interested. He saw something in me when nobody else did. Because, if you think about it, that's totally true. Nobody looked at him twice before. They completely, you know, buried him and didn't give him another thought until he became a Paul Heyman guy. So actually interested. That was neat.
Yeah, we'll definitely get you a Mr. Perfect Bret Hart match at some point. But, yeah, I thought that was really cool. We don't have any calls, so we are going to move on to our brand-new ending show segment we are doing. We are doing a Song of the Week. Sorry, Colt Cabana, we ripped you off. But we are doing a Song of the Week. And, again, I've left everything up to my guest host this week because I'm just so nice like that. And, you know, I get to do the show every week. Bethany does, you know, one segment, and then she moves on. So she got to pick our Song of the Week. Our Song of the Week is always going to be a wrestling theme song. There have been so many, and there's been some great music in WWE's history. So, Beth, what are we doing this week?
We are doing... One second here, I have to look it up.
What's wrong with you?
I know. What is wrong with me? It's actually as a favor to my husband, who has jokingly said his vote was other. He wasn't even considered to be a co-host unless he was in other category. So as a favor to him, and to tie in with this most recent funny BTK, we are scrolling back so that I can read. Why don't you just tell them? Let's just do that.
We're doing
Cole Demolition.
We put a joke in BTK about everybody singing Demolition's theme song, and we thought it was so funny that we're going to do it as a song of the week. So before we get this, we're going to sign off. Bethany, thank you so much for co-hosting with me this week. I had a fantastic time, as I always do, talking to you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again.
We will have you on next week for your regular segment. You won't be on for another hour. I'm sorry. Other people do want to co-host with me for some reason. But,
I completely get it. I know why.
We'll be back next week with Girl Meets Wrestling. Bethany, thank you so much again. Appreciate it. Love you. All
right.
All that great stuff. Hair flip.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, Beth. Bethany did a great job this week. I do want to thank her again. We are going to sign off here. I'm going to leave you guys with Demolition's theme song. We will be back next week, our regular time, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 p.m. Central, 6:30 p.m. Hawaiian, on the Dark Main Event. For the Dark Main Event, I am Steve Demain. Have a good night, Internet.
The World Wrestling Federation, for over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.